Well, good evening, everyone. As you heard, my name is Pastor Chelpka. You can call me that. You can call me Pastor Christopher, whatever you prefer. I am the pastor of Covenant OPC in Tucson. I am here with my fellow Tucsonans, yes. Hello, family camp. Nice to see you. This is the 14th family camp for my wife, Della, and myself. We have five kids, some of who have been coming to family camp since they were just a few months old. So young parents, we see you. Take it easy, get some rest, give each other, husband and wife, give each other some breaks, use the nursery. My daughter Julia's in there tonight, along with some other tender-hearted young ladies. We're really glad you're here. Kids, the purpose, one of the things that I'm going to be doing in my talks in the evening is going to be particularly addressing you. This is an opportunity for you to hear and be within this large group and hear some of the things that we're talking about in the adult times during the day and to be included in that. And so it's important that you listen and that we talk about and meditate on these things together. Our topic this week is serving an invisible God in a visible world. And I want to think with you about how you do that as a kid. How do you serve God in all the different places that He has placed you? How do you serve God in your family? How do you serve God in your community, in your church? How do you serve God in all the different places that He's put you? And He's put you in some very particular places. Everywhere that you are, it's not random, it's not an accident. You are where you are because that's where God has you right now. So that's something we're going to be thinking about over the next few evenings together. Now, some things in life kind of stay in their place. They're limited, right? They kind of stay there. Perhaps you learn something at school and maybe you don't really use it outside of the classroom. It's there in the classroom and that's kind of where it stays. I've got maybe a better example. My son, my eldest son Samuel, for a while had a pet snake in his bedroom. He kept it in a terrarium, which was a good idea. It lived in this terrarium on top of his dresser. And with the exception of just a couple exciting days, the snake stayed there. There were a couple times it got out, and we can tell you those stories some other time. But for the most part, it stayed there on his dresser. Everything that it required right there. Its little climbing things, we fed it from above. Everything that it needed, it needed right there. And it really didn't affect much of the rest of our lives, right? We kind of took care of the snake. Samuel took care of the snake, and that was it. You just sort of move on with other things. And it was nice to have, and there it was. God is not like that. For one, He's not our pet, right? He's not our pet. We're not in charge of Him. We don't take care of Him. He takes care of us. He's our Heavenly Father. He's in charge of us. He supplies what we need. A second reason God is not like that is that what we owe to Him and the effect that He has on our lives, you can't just sort of keep on top of a dresser or on a bookshelf, or in a certain time or place. No, God cannot be contained in this way. There's an important moment, a scene in the Bible, this moment when King Solomon builds the temple. I want you to imagine this. Imagine this giant building. It took lots and lots of money and time and work to build. A lot of investment. They build this place where people would come and worship the Lord. And this is what Solomon prays at the dedication of the temple. In 1 Kings 8:27, he says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that we have built." The temple of God where God said he would put his presence, where God said he would dwell, Solomon recognizes, and he's right to recognize this, that you can't contain God, can you? You can't hold him. You can't put him in a box. You can't limit him in any way. And what we owe to God is also not limited. What we owe to God and the effect that he has on our lives doesn't just apply in this little area or this little area or just on Tuesday afternoons or just Sunday mornings or something like that. No, it's comprehensive, covers everything. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Maybe you know this verse. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a pretty comprehensive statement, right? Whether you eat or drink, these very normal things, these very mundane things, these simple things of life, we do those to the glory of God, and we do everything else to the glory of God. Let's listen to another verse, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So God is not like this pet, right? That you put in a terrarium and put on a little shelf and you take care of him and he just sort of holds this little spot in your life. No, God is our life. He provides our life. He sustains our life and all living things. You almost can't think too bigly about God. You can't think too much or imagine something so big that he is not surpassing in some way. And so, kids and everyone here, it's really important that we figure out then this question. How do we serve God? How do we serve him? How do we serve an invisible God in a visible world, in all these different spheres of our lives, all of these different places and moments and relationships that he calls us into. Now, each night that I'm with you, I'm going to explore with you a different setting, a different place or domain, a different way in which we serve the Lord. Tonight, we're going to think about how do we serve God as a family camper. How do we serve God as a family camper friend in particular, specifically as a friend? And before we get to the very kind of practical and nitty-gritty of that, I want to think about two big things before that with you. Number one, let's think about how God blesses us through good friends. And number two, how God blesses us through being a good friend. And then third, we'll talk about how we can serve God as a family camp friend. All right, so with that, I have asked three volunteers to serve as runners for me. If you guys could please go back to Mr. Bill there and get your microphones. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you guys, so this is for 18 and under, raise your hand if you have an answer to my question. So you're going to raise your hand if you have an answer to my question. And I'll tell you what I'm going to ask as soon as our friends here get in place. So here's what we're going to think about together for a moment. Remember this first big category. How does God bless us through good friends? Right, so what are some of the blessings that we have through good friends? So I want you to think about that for a moment. How does God bless us through good friends? What kinds of blessings do we receive through good friends? All right, if you have an answer that you would like to share, raise your hand, and then one of our runner friends here will bring you a microphone so that you can talk into it and we can all hear you. All right, so what's a way that God blesses us through good friends?
With the ability to be vulnerable and fellowship.
To be vulnerable and to have fellowship. All right, good. What else?
To learn more about the Bible through them.
Okay, our friends can teach us more about the Bible. What else? What was it, Freddie? What was that? God blesses us through friends by giving us new friends. All right. Thank you.
They have a good influence on us.
Right. Good friends can influence us.
True friends will always be there when you need them.
They'll be there when you need them. We have needs, right? And our friends can help us out with that. What else? Oh, there's one back here.
Have good friends.
Good advice. Yes. Anyone else want to share? Think about your good friends for a moment. Think about the people and the ways that God has blessed you through them. Think about particular moments that God has blessed you. All right, how about we open it up now for just maybe, let's say, three offers to those 18 and older. So these are people who have a lot of experience with friendship. Let's hear from three of our adults. How does God bless us through good friends? One here. Let's get you a mic.
It's important to have a friend that could be an encouragement to you when you're down.
One more? Once again?
To be an encouragement to you when you're discouraged or down.
Be an encouragement when we're discouraged or down.
Honest and loving critique.
So sometimes a good friend can tell us things that are hard to hear, right? And that can be a really good thing. One more.
They help us enjoy the blessings that God gives us even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, thank you so much for sharing these. And I think I know other things are coming to your mind. Runners, we're done for now, but I'll bring you back in a little bit. Let's think about some of these things for a moment, some of these things that we heard, and some scriptures that talk about this as well. Some of the blessings, some of the ways that God blesses us through friendship, the value of having a good friend. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and no one is there to help him. Right? That theme of help, of having someone nearby, because we all fall, right? We all have times when we need help and a friend can help with that. What about this one that was mentioned about a friend helps us enjoy the good things of life? A friend is someone often who knows you and likes the things you like. Maybe they play the same games. Maybe they like the same memes. Maybe they know what it's like to stay late at the dance studio or work hard on a school project or code a program from scratch or fix your own bicycle. They know this, right? And when you get with your friend, you can talk with them about that. You can talk with them about all the little details and the lore behind those novels or the background behind that video game or the inside jokes on the server. Whatever it is, you can spend time talking about those things, and it's so fun, right? We can enjoy the things, the good things that God gives to us in life. Psalms 133:1 says this: "How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." It's pretty true, isn't it? When we dwell in unity with one another, it's good and it's pleasant. It's just really, really nice, and it's often a blessing to us in many ways. What about the idea of navigating challenges, of having somebody who can give you counsel? Listen to Proverbs 27:9. Someone who can help, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Have you ever been in a position where you've gotten unstuck because your friend had some good advice, where you didn't know what to say and you didn't know what to do, and your friend said, "What if you tried this?" Or, "Hasn't this worked before?" Or, "I don't think you should do that." Right? In these moments, your friend speaks to you, and when it's true and they've been listening to you and they know your situation, it's so, so helpful. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. The wounds of a friend, the critique that comes from friends. Right? Sometimes when people get to know you well, they get to know you well. Right? One of the challenges of friendship, right, is that you have to kind of start letting your guard down. You have to be vulnerable. You have to open up and you have to share. One of the advantages of that is now you have somebody who knows you. They know you really well. They know your strengths. They know your weaknesses. They know the stuff you like. They know the stuff you hate. And sometimes, because of that, there's this added benefit that they can look into your life and they can see when you're wandering. They can see when you're making a mistake. They can see when you're about to fall into a pit, maybe one that you made yourself. And so Proverbs 27:6 tells us this truth: faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And of course, a friend is someone we can learn from. This was mentioned too. They teach us things, someone said. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." So these are a handful of ways, right, that we've talked about this evening of how we are blessed by God through good friends. And for that reason, we kind of all have this natural hunger in us to have friends. That's not a bad thing to want. God made us with that kind of desire. He writes, when he creates man, it is not good that man be alone. He made us so that we would be with one another, so that we would be for one another, that we would enjoy fellowship, right? Fellowing together, communion, communing together. We have all of these words for these things. And they're such a blessing to us. These are ways that God blesses us through good friends. So now let's brainstorm a second category of things. How does God bless us through our being a good friend? Right? So the first was sort of about on the receiving end. What's it like when we receive friendship? Now I'm asking you a little bit trickier question. What are the blessings we receive through being a good friend? So runners, I need you again. You can, while they're getting ready, I want you to be thinking about this. How has God blessed you? How do you see him blessing others through their acting as a good friend? How does God bless us through being a good friend? All right, hands up. Not yet. Go ahead, Mr. McCark.
I've been able to be a friend to some people who have been through very difficult times, some that I had been through myself. The Lord sustained me through that, and I've been able to communicate with them what he's done for me and what he will and has done for them.
Okay, so Mr. McCarthy's saying, if I'm catching you right, that in his experiences of being a friend to others, particularly in difficult times, One, he sees how the Lord sustains him and sustains his friends. And two, you come to see the blessings of that friendship as well. Is that? Yeah. What else? How else does God bless us through being a good friend?
I think one of the blessings of being a friend to others is that it takes us out of ourselves and helps us focus on something other than ourselves, which in turn blesses us.
Yeah. Yeah. Being a friend, it puts us outside of ourselves. The scriptures call us, right, to give of our lives to others, to lay down our lives for others, even as Christ laid down his life for us. And there's blessings in that. We come new perspectives, right? And we all struggle in some ways with thinking too highly of ourselves, of being too self-centered. Being a good friend helps us out of that in some big ways. Yeah, good. Yeah, Oliver? Yeah, thank you.
There's always, you know, your friends that may not know the Lord. God may use you to be a witness to them. And that could be, like, one of the greatest blessings of being a good friend to somebody is for them to be able to see Jesus in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I'm hearing is this is kind of, there's this way in which we can give gifts to people. And as the scriptures say, it's a good thing to give. It's a blessed thing to give. Not only are the gifts themselves good, right? We can bless other people with these good things, but the act of giving itself is a kind of gift in a way, and a blessing as well to the giver. Anything else? To Mark, yeah, in the back.
I know the Lord has used every single one of the worst moments of my life to help me to relate to friends, help friends in similar circumstances, and to be a blessing for them, which in turn blesses me by being able to see a purpose behind so many of the things that I've experienced that otherwise could seem pretty hopeless.
Yeah, thank you. Kids, would you, if you have your Bibles, would you open up to Jeremiah 17:7? And runners, thank you for your help. You can return the mics. Jeremiah 17:7. So Jeremiah is kind of roughly in the middle of your Bible. It's one of the larger books, so that's helpful for finding it. So what I want to tell you is that human beings, when they trust in the Lord, they're like trees. Human beings, when they trust in the Lord, are like trees. Let's read. I'll give you a little bit more time for those of you who are still turning. Jeremiah 17:7, and I'm also going to read verse 8 as well. So 17:7 and verse 8. And I want you to hear how people are like trees when we trust in the Lord. And then we're going to connect this to this gift-giving idea and friendship. All right, let's hear God's word here. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So there's a few things many things you could glean from this passage, but I want you to notice just a couple. One is that this tree, this tree does a couple things. One, it receives, right? It receives the nourishment that it gets from water, right? He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots into the stream. This tree sends out its roots into the water, and it draws life from them. In Tucson, we have desert trees, mesquite trees, Palo Verdes. These trees send their roots sometimes very, very far down. I think I remember hearing once about a mesquite tree that they found that had sent a root down 75 feet. They found it as they were kind of digging in a mine or a cave or something like that and found this root way, way, way down. Why? Because trees need water. Even desert trees, they need water. And they receive that water, they receive the sun, and they live. Trees are not self-sufficient, right? A tree can't just go live on its own and supply itself with everything it needs, right? A tree is a dependent creature. And we are like that as well. When we trust in the Lord, we send out our roots to the Lord. He is our streams of water. He is our life. There's a second thing a tree does, and that's bear fruit. So a tree both receives and it what? It gives. It provides. A tree, interestingly enough, doesn't reach out and grab its own fruit and then eat its own fruit and then live, right? A tree uses that fruit, or the fruit is born on that tree and it provides for others. Trees provide other things too, right? They provide shade, place to take a nap, meet a friend, a place for a bird to make a nest, for new life to begin, for insects to live, for all kinds of wonderful things. So just like trees cannot feed themselves and they depend on soil and sun and water, we are like that. And when we trust in the Lord, we receive and benefit from deep nutrients. We could even say infinite nutrients. Our God cannot be contained. Remember how we said at the beginning? He's not limited. And it's also true that as God feeds us and supplies us, he doesn't intend us to just stand there. He doesn't intend us to just keep drinking water, more and more water, and get fat, like a big sorrow with lots of water. Right? We are intended to bear fruit, to provide things for others out of the nutrients that we ourselves receive. The Bible uses a similar image when it talks about us being united to the Lord like being united to a vine. I'll read it to you. It's from John 15:4. Jesus says, "Abide in me." That means live. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." Listen carefully. This is important. This last verse is very important. "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from Christ, apart from us dwelling in him, abiding from him, we can do nothing. But in him, we bear much fruit. So how does this relate to friendship? How does this relate to being a family camper and a family camp friend? Well, I'll put it this way. And you know people like this. There's lots and lots of people who are friendly to others only for one reason. Well, there's other reasons, I suppose. But for this reason is one of them, so that they can have friends. It's not a terrible reason, right? We know it's true. If you're nice to other people, they tend to be nice to you. Generally, that's how it works. But Jesus has something a little bit more for us, even a lot more for us. If the idea of us simply being a friend to get a friend falls short of who we are as Christians and how we think as Christians. As Christians, we are friendly toward others because Christ has been friendly toward us, even when we didn't deserve it. That's the water we're drawing from. That's the soil that we're drawing from. We're not simply putting ourselves out there hoping to get something back. No, we are people who have already received something like that tree, and out of that abundance then bear much fruit. We just give it away so freely, so joyously. Now think about this. Think about how God has been a friend toward you. Did God wait until you were really, really nice to him before he was your friend? No. He didn't wait for you to approach him. He didn't wait for you to act first. He didn't wait for you to get over your stuff. He simply loved you. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son into this world, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, have it abundantly, and bear much fruit. More and more and more fruit. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here's what Jesus says about this. See if you can listen along and track with what he says. He says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same account. Here's what Jesus says next. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. For mercy, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. That's the water we draw from. So that's the kind of fruit we produce. He is merciful. So we're merciful. He's generous, so we're generous. He loved us while we were still enemies, so we love our enemies as he first loved us. We are able to give to others out of the abundance that we have in Christ. So one aspect of this is comfort, for example, encouragement. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You receive the comfort of God and you just hand it over to someone else, having received it yourself. So let's get practical now, our third section, and we'll close with this. How can we be a family camp friend? Well, here's how the Bible puts it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Does he listen to us? Does he care for us? Is he compassionate and tender toward us? Is he forbearing with us in our weaknesses? Does he overlook a lot of stuff and not come down on us really hard all the time? But does he also speak to us and correct us and admonish us when we need it? God has loved us. We also ought to love one another. Or as Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So what I'd like you to do is look around the room right now and just see those people you do not yet know. The unfamiliar faces, or perhaps people with which you might have a little beef with. You can glance over them very quickly. Look around the room and see your brothers and your sisters. See the people you don't know yet. See the people that you have never seen before in your life. And think about this. How will I welcome these, my brothers and sisters, as Christ has welcomed me for the glory of God. And at the end of the week, on our last night, I'll ask you to look around the room again and think about the things that have changed, the relationships that have grown, the ways that God has been working in you throughout the week as you have welcomed others and others have welcomed you. All right. Sound like a plan? Okay, good. Well, since we can do nothing apart from Christ, let's pray and ask for his blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that through your Son and by your Spirit, you would bring forth the fruit of friendship in us as we enjoy our friendship with you. We ask, O Lord, that you would start by humbling us. Help us to remember how unworthy we are to be your friend. Help us to remember how we have nothing to offer you that could ever make you love us or make you even like us. Let us learn, O Lord, not to glory in our own goodness, but to glory in your goodness, in your mercy, and in your grace. Help us to do that by making us better friends of you. Lord, help us to listen more to you, to spend more time with you, to care about you more than we ever have before. And then, O Savior, friend of sinners, we ask that you would teach us to welcome others as you have welcomed us, showing mercy and kindness and gentleness and patience to everyone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.